So we're looking at Rosh Hashanah Perek Gimel, which is called Ra'u Bezdin, and we're looking at Mishnah Vav Shofar Shenizdak. And the Mishnah says the following: Shofar Shenizdak. Now, what is Shofar Shenizdak? So let's just read what I suggested. We'll just read through the Mishnah to get the overall picture of what's going on in the Mishnah, and then we can come back to each part of the Mishnah, because Shofar Shenizdak is going to be an issue here. Exactly what this crack, you know, there's a crack. Vidovko. And he uses some sort of a glue. Rashi calls it glued in French. And he pastes together the shofar in such a way that the sedek, this crack, is no longer visible. So the Mishnah says, Pasul. Even though you would think that since he now has reattached the two parts of the shofar, it's okay. Kamashmal, no, it's Pasul, and we have to understand why it's Pasul. Dibek Shivrei Shofros Pasul. Now here the Mishnah is coming to tell me some sort of chiddush, which I don't know what the chiddush is, but he's got small pieces of shofar and he attaches them together. For some reason in this case there was a hava meter, we would think that it's kosher, but the Mishnah tells me it's pasul. Then we have Nikev Visosmo. Now it's a little bit better, because we're not talking about a sedek. We're not talking about a crack in the shofar, but rather nekev. Nekev is a hole in the shofar. For sosmo, and he plugs it up. Now, whenever you see the word sosmo, which is the verb of the noun stima could be one of two things. Stima could be what's called min bimino. That means you take a piece of shofar, a crack, you know, of shofar, a small piece of shofar, and you are able to plug up this nekev. That's called the stima of min bimino. Or it could be min b'sheino mino, where I take something else, a different substance, and I plug it up. So that's what we have to understand. What's the case here of nikev v'sosma? What kind of stima was it? Because as opposed to the case of sedek and devek, here in the case of nekev and stima, we're going to see that the shofar might very well be kosher. And the Mishnah makes a condition. Im yakev es ha-tkiya posel. Now what does that mean, im yakev es ha-tkiya? Literally it translates as if it prevents the tkiya. If it prevents the tkiya, then there's nothing to talk about. I mean, the chiddush, well, what is the Mishnah telling me? In the akiv as a tkiya, you know, if you can't get the tkiya out, then so what?
You
didn't hear a shofar. Apparently, my akiv as a tkiya means it has some sort of a negative impact on the tkiya.
Meaning that the sound.
Exactly. The sound of the tkiya is not the same, it's not identical. And therefore, it's possible. In other words, the Mishnah is trying to analyze whether the nekev is still a nekev. Has he completely, freed himself of the influence of the nekev? Has he completely rectified the nekev? Or is the nekev still in some sense, a hunchback that's preventing him, and it's a barrier, that's an impediment, that's preventing hearing the shofar? So that's called the ma'akev es ha'tkiya. Apparently the kol shofar has been impaired. Vim lav, but let's say he did such a great job with this stima. Again, we don't know if it's stima bim mino min b'sheinu mino, but he did a great job, and therefore the kol shofar is completely identical to what it was before the nekev. The kol shofar has not been impacted and changed whatsoever. Is kosher? Then nikev v'sosmo is kosher. So next time you see a shofar with a hole in it, don't throw it out. Now, don't give it to your grandchildren to play with, you know, as if it's worthless. It might actually be a kosher shofar. But you got to get a good professional to do a stima, and if the stima is successful, then the shofar is kosher. The next part of the Mishnah is very fascinating. Hatokea l'tocha bar, or l'tocha dus, or l'tocha pitas, or pitam, and get different gersos here. So what happens is he blows the shofar in a place that's surrounded by very tight walls. You know, the walls are caving in on him. So what happens is when you make a noise in such a small place, the noise reverberates from the walls, and it's not clear whether you're hearing the actual sound as it comes out, or maybe you're hearing an echo. And we're going to see what bar is and dus is and pitas. These are all different kinds of very narrow places, you know, that are sort of like underground. So im kol shofar shofar, the Mishnah says it's not a lost case. We, you know, why would you think historically? I'm just testing your intuitive sensitivities to Jewish history. Why do you think we would want to blow the shofar underground?
During the Roman times,
right? During times of persecution. This was very relevant during the Holocaust. If you've ever been to Theresienstadt, you know that's a place in Czechoslovakia where we have the place where 30,000 Jews perish daily. I mean that's how terrible Theresienstadt was. I mean that was the place where the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, wanted to show the world, you know, the Red Cross and so forth, how they treat the Jews so well. They used to have the Jews play music, and it was a whole thing. But anyway, the Jews there created a shul which you can still see today. It's about half the size of this room, and it's absolutely stunning. I don't know what they did, you know, without any materials whatsoever, subterranean. And that's where they blew the shofar, so that the Nazis wouldn't know that they were blowing shofar. And this was true throughout the Holocaust. How they smuggled in shofar was a different issue. In any event, so im kol shofar shoma, if they actually were heard the kol shofar. Now, who do you think is going to be able to hear the kol shofar? Which members of the audience will be able to hear the kol shofar? Those who are inside the bar. You follow what I mean? In other words, if we're all in the same situation, then you're hearing the shofar directly. But somebody who's outside the bar, let's say he's on top, he's not going to be able to hear the shofar. He's going to probably hear some of the sounds that are emitted from the shofar that are bouncing back and forth on the walls of the shofar. And he's hearing the echo of the shofar. Look, George, if you're very cold, I can give you my jacket. I'm very magnanimous, I share it with you. So the Mishnah says the following, that im kol havara sham, if he hears the echo, if he doesn't hear the shofar itself, then lo yotze. V'chein, and a similar halach, the Mishnah says, misha haya over achorei beis haknesses. A person, let's say, if I want to judge this guy favorably, the shul was absolutely packed. You know, Rosh Hashanah, you know, people come from all over, they pack the shul, so he wasn't able to get in. So he was walking outside the Beis HaKnesses, Shama Kol Shofar. Now here the Mishnah decides to take this beyond the bounds of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and the Mitzvah of Shofar. And the Mishnah wants to address the issue of Kriyas HaMegillah. Because just like in Shofar, it's very important that you intend to hear the Kol Shofar. That's called Kavana. So too in the case of Mikra Megillah, not just that you haphazardly heard some syllables, some noises, and it happened to be, you were lucky, it happened to be Kriyas HaMegillah. No, you have to have kavana, you have to have deliberate intention to hear the Megillah. Oshaya beso samuch lebeis haknes. I know, for example, my apartment in Harnov is literally like from here to that door, from the Sephardic shul. I just go out on my porch and it's almost like I'm standing inside the shul. That's how close I am. So shama kol shofar kol megillah. Im kivein libo yotza. If he had the right kavana. Now who's the he over here? It's always, you know, when you use pronouns. The one who's listening or the one?
The one who's listening. Listen. The one who's blowing is already got kavana.
Excellent. So the one who's blowing the shofar has kavana for everybody. And he doesn't exclude anyone. You know, it would be interesting if, let's say, he says, you know, I have a lot of friends in the audience and they could all be Yotze Shofar. But there's one guy, I don't like his nose, so he's not going to be Yotze. I don't have Kavana to be Yotze. That's a whole to-do. It could be that in Shofar, in such a case, that person who's his enemy, so to speak, his Sone, is not Yotze. But in Megillah, he would be Yotze. There may be differences here between Shofar and Megillah. V'imla, but if the listener does not have Kavana to be Yotze, is lo yotza. Now here we get into a major controversy. What does it mean kiven libo? There are two different roads here, two different approaches to what that means kiven libo. One approach is to say that kiven libo means he had kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah. Another opinion is in kiven libo that he listened carefully. Not that he had in mind to be yotze the mitzvah. Maybe he didn't even have in mind to be yotze. But sometimes you hear things and you don't pay attention. And if you don't pay attention, you don't really hear them properly.
So why would he be paying attention? Just to enjoy the music?
Yeah, maybe he needs to hear the shofar. You know, it wakes him up. It's like reverie, you know. The Gemara has a case, actually, on Daf Chav Ches, which is, this is the famous sugya of what's called Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah. And the Gemara says that there was a case of someone called Tokel Shir. Did you ever hear that? It's a very odd case. He was blowing for the musical enjoyment of the Shir. Yeah. You know, not that he was practicing. The Shir means he liked the sounds of the shofar. Again, you and I would have chosen a clarinet or a saxophone, but he chose the shofar. Maybe they didn't have any other instruments.
I've heard Hirschfeld at Chappelle's gave the example of a musical where the climax of the musical was every now and again someone will come out and blow a shofar, and then you go back to the story. That would be
yeah. This is amongst Jews or amongst non-Jews? It's hard to believe that. Okay, fine. So it says the following: Afal pisha ze shama ze kiven libo ze lo kiven libo. The Mishnah adds this phrase over here at the end, which seems to imply that if he's mechaven, meaning the listener has kavana, then he's yotze. But the chiddush here is afal pi shezeh shama vezeh shama ze kiven libo vezeh lo kiven libo. He's still yotze. Or maybe it means that afal pi is going back to the reisha. The reisha says that if he doesn't have kavana, he's not yotze. Afal pi shezeh shama, even though he hears the shofar, he hears the megillah. Nevertheless, Zeloki Venliba, maybe the one who was blowing the shofar didn't have kavanah, or the one who was reading the Megillah didn't have kavanah. That's going to be an issue here. So let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah and take the Mishnah apart piece by piece. And when I say piece by piece, that's not a pun, because that's really the subject of this Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, piece by piece. Shofar Shenizdak is Vidavko Pasuk. So nizdak means what? How do we interpret nizdak? There's a crack in the shofar. Now keep in mind, a shofar can be cracked in two different places. One is called the orech ha-shofar, which is the length of the shofar. Like if I'm putting the shofar in my mouth here, the shofar sticks out, so on the sides of the shofar, it was cracked. And one is called the rochav ha-shofar. The rochav ha-shofar is the width of the shofar, going from, let's say, right to left, or left to right. And if you take a look in the Gemara immediately quotes a brisa that says aruch v'katzro kosher. And this is very fascinating.
Again.
Aruch, he's got a very long shofar, v'katzro, and he decides to cut it down. That's really what we call rachba. And v'kosher, it's still kosher. Why? So the Gemara says, because even though he was mekatze the shofar, he left kishir shofar. Meaning, how long does the shofar have to be? And the Gemara establishes that the shofar has to be long enough that you can grab the shofar in one hand and you can still see part of the shofar that comes out of a hand. Now, is that subjective depending upon the size of your hand or my hand? Or is it objective and there's a certain shear of kedei tfilsas yodo, you know, what is yad? But in any event, it comes out that if you cut a shofar l'rochbo, and you really, you know, shrink a shofar in that sense, the shofar is kosher, as long as you left with the shear. Then if I go back to the Mishnah now, and the Mishnah says, shofar shenistak vidovko pasul, that the shofar is disqualified because it was nistak. Now, if it means ascetic l'rochbo, so then what would be the simple solution to the problem of l'rochbo? Just exactly, cut it down. If you have a sedek in the rochav ha-shofar, let's say for example, this is my shofar, okay? This is my shofar. So if I have a sedek in the rochav, right? So where is that sedek? If it's a little bit further down the shofar, who cares about the sedek? All I have to do is simply cut the shofar. Therefore, by process of elimination, where is the sedek now in our Mishnah? It's got to be l'arko. And that's what I say here. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Aruch V'Katzro.
What is for Orko? Is the Siddiq with the in the line? Understand? Is the Siddiq going this way?
Yes.
Or is the Siddiq, even if it's in the, even if it's the Morocco, but it's going this way?
No, Rashi and Tosafot have the following argument. They want to know the following. When it's nistakli orko, is it on both sides in such a way that now the shofar is about to just fall apart? And then what he does is he puts glue and he attaches the two parts of the shofar. Or is it only cracked on one side? So the shofar really is still intact, but just that one side of the shofar is completely detached. The shofar itself is still whole. So if you take a look, you have the Machlokas Rashi Tosis here. Let's read it the following. It says the following.
No, but Mark
okay, wait, just give me a minute, George, to get into this. You know, I have to sink my teeth in first, you know. Shofar shenistakli orko. Okay, and that's going to be this brisa that says that we're talking about the orko, the length of the shofar as opposed to the width of the shofar. Vidovko, Rashi says he uses glue to attach it, and Rashi offers and the Ran offers another possibility. The Ran says you don't even have to put glue. There's a heating process by which, if you subject the shofar to a certain intensity of heat, the Ran claims that you can attach the shofar in such a way that the Siddiq is completely gone. Okay, possible. The shofar, despite all your great efforts, is still possible. Lefi Rashi. Rashi says, why is it possible? Shenistak legamre v'nechlak l'shtei chatichos. It is completely detached. And Rashi is saying, you're taking two halves of shofar, two halves of the shofar, I can get that right here because I'm the only American here in the audience, right? Two halves of the shofar, and you actually glued it together or you heated it together. Rashi says it's possible. Now Rashi tells you why it's possible. Rashi says the havile kishnei shofros. The Torah says shofar, and Chazal interpret that to mean shofar echad velo shnei shofros. Nu, if that be the case, if Rashi's learning that the shofar is completely split into two, what's the havamina that this shofar could be kosher? And the answer is dovko. That since he was able to attach it, now here Rav Osai, we get into a very, very profound sugya called dechia. Have you ever heard of dechia? Dechia means that, let's say, for example, I have tzitzis, and the tzitzis became possible. Can I re-qualify the tzitzis? Or do I say no? Once it became possible, it's possible. The classical case is a hadas. You know, we have four minim on the lulav. One of them is called the hadas. Now, hadas, the way it grows naturally, it has what's called anovim. Anovim are berries. And if it has too many berries, then it's possible. Oh, so the Gemara wants to know, what happens if I cut off the berries? And the Gemara says it might depend upon the sugi of dechia. Dechia means that if this object was disqualified, then it was nidches. Nidches means it was rejected. And once it's rejected, you have no way of re-qualifying. Hoil v'nidches, nidches. So if I would apply the principle of nidches to mitzvahs, then even if I take off the berries from this hadas, go mishkel for nothing else. If shalach shiro, I can't be machshir this hadas. Why? Because it's nidches. And the Gemara says, nay, that you don't apply the principle of hol v'nidches nidches, that's kaput, it's gone. Why? Because you took off the berries before yontif.
Before
yontif, it's not a hadas. You and I call it hadas, and we pay good money for it. But halachically, it's not called hadas because it's kodem zmano. Only liachar zmano, and it's very interesting that zmano l'chora would be the morning because there's no mitzvah at night, right? It's not like the mitzvah of matzo, which is at night. But the mitzvah of dalad minim is only l'katam l'chem. Fayom arishon, it's fayom v'lom alayla.
We're talking it's a laila.
But the Gemara holds that laila itself is already the inception of the Kedushas Hayom. And once the inception of the Kedushas Hayom, then we can apply the principle of nidches. So it means the following. if entering into Chag HaSukkos I have a Hadas, which is Rov Anovov, Nisrabu Anovov, there's too much of a ribui of Anovim, of berries, then Hol V'nidcheis Nidcheis. Going into Yontif, it was possible, and if it was possible, I can't be Machshit. Once possible, always possible. Right? Like I always wondered, like, you know, in certain countries, if you do a certain criminal act, they actually reject your citizenship. I don't know if that the countries you come from, but I know there is such a thing as losing your status as a citizen in certain very extreme cases, like espionage and other cases. And the question is, if let's say at some point he rectifies himself, you know, with in Alan Turner's Learn Hilchos Tshuva, he does tshuva, how do we reinstate him? Is he automatically reinstated, or he has to go through a whole new process of applying for citizenship in order to be recognized as a citizenship? So I'm just using that as a marshal. That's called Hol V'Nidcheis Nidcheis. Once you reject it, that's it. You got to start from scratch. It's like here in this area, you apply for what's called a heter b'niya. I don't know if you ever heard of it. So when you apply for heter b'niya, you go to the municipality and you show them a plan. Okay. Now, if you get the okay, then you're allowed to implement that plan. They give you a certain amount of metrage, what they call it, an area. Now, if you do violations, then you have to go through the entire process of heter yitzia from scratch. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I'll do a landfill on those areas that expanded beyond my permissibility. No, I got to start from scratch. And trust me, the second time around is going to be a lot rougher than the first time around, because they know their customers already. You know, the Riyah is very strict. Here too, once I entered into the Chag, and the Kiddush Sayom was engendered, and now I have a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, which is possible, I cannot reinstate it once Yontif began. It's farfalad, it's gone.
Isn't it even Muktzah?
And it might be Muktzah as well.
It's not a Kli anymore.
It's not a Kli, it doesn't have any function, you don't use it as a broomstick, and it's not worthy for a Mitzvah, it's gone. But, if let's say before Yontif I pull off the berries, then I don't apply the principle of nidcheis. There's no dechia, because it wasn't yet a hadas. So when the hadas entered into Yontif, it was a kosher hadas. I'd remove the psul. Why do I tell you this? We're not learning the Mishnah of Hadasim. That's later on in Masechet Sukkah. But in this Mishnah of Nistak, Rashi might be saying the following. Rashi is saying that if the shofar was posul, because the tzedek was complete. That's the lashon of Rashi. Rashi says it was nistak legamrei v'nechlak l'shtei chatichos. It was completely split. Complete split. Oh, so we might apply the principle of hoil v'nidcheis nidcheis. That even though I can now reattach the two halves of the shofar by using what?
Glue.
Whatever. It still remains possible. But l'chora, if we use the standards of the halach of nidcheis, then it should depend upon when he does the tzedek. If he did the tzedek when?
Before.
Erev Rosh Hashanah, then it should be fine. It was never possible. If on the other hand he did the tzedek, he did the devek on Rosh Hashanah itself, even Laila, which again, even though it's not yet royal mitzvah, so you have to wait till Amud HaShachar, but nevertheless, it's already in the inception of Kiddush Hayom, and Hol V'Nidcheis Nidcheis. But yet, the Mishnah doesn't qualify. And the Mishnah seems to imply that Devik won't help you. It's gone. We say, ball game over. You lost the game. Why? Because it was Nistak. So Tosa says, no, it's not the case of Nistak. It was only Nistak Mitzad Echad Li Arko. It was only completely cracked on one side. The shofar still hangs together. Then therefore it could be that according to Tosfos, we're not dealing with the sugya of Nidcheis, the way Rashi understands that it was actually possible. We're dealing with a whole different question. And what is the question according to Tosfos? Tosfos is asking the question of what this Devek is all about. Can I be Machshir with Devek? And the answer is that Devek is called Min B'She'eno Mino. It's not the natural part of the shofar. It doesn't grow on the horn of the animal. So therefore, according to Tosfos, this whole sugi revolves around a different issue. And that is there a chatzitza in the shofar? I don't know if you're familiar with the word chatzitza. That's a very heavy technical word in halacha. Has tremendous repercussions all over the place. In kachim, and especially in taros, in terms of mikvos, there's dinim of chatzitza. Let's say a kohen gadol goes into a mikvah. And there was a chatzitza, something that separated and was sort of like a barrier.
A ring.
A ring might not be a chatzitza. It depends whether the water can get in, or whether you mock it or not. There are many, many different halachas of chatzitza. But something called min bimino, if you would, let's say, replaster the shofar with a piece of shofar, if you, let's say, through a heating process, you're allowed to break off a piece of shofar. After all, you know, you'll ask me, how do I get a piece of shofar? That's a singe. Because as we remember before, we said that if he cuts the shofar in half, the shofar is still kosher. The minimum size of a shofar is minuscule. It's only the amount that he needs to fit into his hand. I myself once saw, many, many years ago, a very, very small shofar, and I laughed. I said, did you buy this for your grandchild? It looks like a toy. But it's a kosher shofar. So you can have pieces of shofaros, which even though you remove them from the shofar, it doesn't passel in any way the shofar. Now
take that piece from the own shofar, or any shofar. Cut off a wee bit.
And take that piece of shofar and mold it into the shofar, into the tzedek. And the professionals know how to do this with heat. So then it's not a problem of min, b'sheino mina, there's no chatzitza, and then I can recreate the shofar. According to Rashi, I have a much more fundamental issue, because since the shofar is completely split, and therefore it's shnei shofaros, and Rashi says, shofar echad velo, shnei shofaros, therefore there's no way I can recreate the shofar. No matter what kind of process I subject the shofar to, in order to reattach the shofar, according to Rashi, it's completely possible. You can do all the heating, and you can do the min bimino. That's not the issue of the Mishnah. The issue of the Mishnah is once a shofar is disqualified, ge'endik, finished. It was before Rosh Hashanah. So here we want to suggest the following. When does the shame shofar emerge? You know, in the case of Hadas, Hadas has no status whatsoever during the course of the year. Right? There's no mitzvah to use a Hadas except for 7 days out of the year, namely the 7 days of Sukkot. In fact, in Gvulin, outside the Migdash, only one day. But in Migdash, for 7 days, they took the Dalad Mini. Okay, because the Pasuk says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem, that's in the Migdash Shivas Yom. But the balance of the year, the rest of the year, 51 out of 52 weeks, there's no shame. What I mean by shame, hadas, I mean there's no chaloshen, there's no status as a dvar mitzvah. Not so with shofar. A shofar has many different functions. There are many different mitzvahs that we fulfill with the shofar. Not just the mitzvah one day out of the year of shofar of Yom Tshuva Yilacha. What other mitzvahs do we fulfill with the shofar?
Tanit, Nachama.
Excellent, Tanit. And we use the shofar for the mitzvah of what? Of Yovel. And we use the shofar for the mitzvah of Karbonos and Shir in the Migdash with shofar and Chatzotzros, right? The shofar was accompanied by the shofros. Basically, the shofar is any kind of encounter with the Ribono Shalom. When we encounter the Ribono Shalom, we blow the shofar. In fact, there's the shofar that was blown at the time of Maimon Har Sinai. That's the shofar of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest encounter of all history until we get to the Achris HaYomim between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael was at Maimon Har Sinai, and the shofar was blowing. Chazak, very sure. And then there'll be Bahaya V'yomahu, you talk of a shofar gadol. Now, I don't know how big that shofar is going to be. I don't know if it's a different... Shofar gadol, I think, more is symbolic. It means metaphysical. Yeah, it's going to be... The Mashiach is going to come. We're going to have a great shofar. So that's why on Rosh Hashanah we recite shofros. And shofros is one-third of the Musaf service, of the middle part of the Musaf service. And that shofros that we recite, which is made up of 10 psukim, really takes us through Jewish history, from the beginning of Jewish history to the end. So shofar is meaningful the whole year round. So therefore Rashi says, the moment you split a shofar into two, and it's no longer one shofar, but it becomes two shofros, Rashi says, ge'endik, fafalin, karamba, finito, the shofar is yiskadal, yiskadish, 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 bury the shofar. All right, let's go on.
But is it the kedushas of shofar nowadays is only for Rosh Hashanah? No? If we don't have kavanah,
but still do it when we get to war.
But the truth is that there may be a kiyum shofar even bizman hazeh on yom tainis, on yom tzar. For that, we'd have to learn the Rambam Klei Migdosh. I didn't get a chance to look that in. That's Mishnayos later on in Rosh. Maybe let's just go on a little bit. There's a Rabbeinu Yonason here. Did you ever hear Rabbeinu Yonason? Neither did I. But he's one of the rare Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonason has a third pshat in our Mishnah, not Rashi and not Tosus. He wants to say that afilu nistak sedek katan, one little crack, the shofar is puzzle. Why? And he says lefisha machmas hatkios hasedek mosif aholich. It's unbelievable. We have a principle, George, that ein gzera doraisa. The concept of a gzera, of a decree, a harchaka, which we build a fence in order to avoid a worse situation, is only derabbanan. Which Mishnah actually authorizes the Rabbanan to do such a thing? Anybody know?
Megillah.
It's the first Mishnah in Masechta Avos. Heim Omru Shlosh Shedvarim Asu Siag LaTorah. The Torah gives authority to the Chacham to make a siag. The Torah itself doesn't make a siag. The Torah tells you what's gufo shel isu. You want to add a siag? That's the rabbinic permission to do so. Here says Rabbi Yonason, we have a Torah siag. This is going to be mind expanding. Okay? Says Rabbi Yonason, you know what? You start with a small tzedek, and what do you end up with? You end up with a big tzedek. What happens? The pressure of the air coming through the shofar as you blow and you blow and you blow. I don't know, do we have any shofar blowers here in the audience? Don't all answer at once. I once blew shofar for an old age home. And I have to tell you, to this day I bench Gomel that I'm still alive. Because you see, when you bench Gomel, when you blow shofar and there's no mockery who's yelling out to Kia, you don't get a chance to take a breath. So I kept blowing and blowing and blowing, and I always kill myself. Because I blew it at old age, it was just me and the elderly gentlemen and mostly ladies actually, the audience. That's what happens in old age homes. And that was it. Anyway, if you blow and you blow and you blow, the shofar itself starts, you know. Yes. You know, you might think that when you buy it, the nicest bar mitzvah gift I ever gave was a shofar. And every time I see this young man, he thanks me for the shofar I gave him for his bar mitzvah. He's already in his 20s, you know. But bar mitzvah boys love getting a shofar. Again, it's a little bit expensive, but if it's a good friend, you know, or the parents are good friends, you buy a shofar. Which is better, an old, tried and true shofar or a new shofar?
Older.
A new shofar is better. It's almost like in Sifrei Torah. The best Sefer Torah is a new Sefer Torah. Why? Because a Sefer Torah has a life. What word am I looking for?
Span.
A span? Is that the word? No, it's a different word. Anyway, has a lifespan. And for example, my father-in-law, Tzlzayin Gesund, who just celebrated his 92nd birthday, he bought us a Sefer Torah that he got secondhand. It was 150 years old. It lasted about 10 years for us. We learned from it. And now, too many mistakes. It would take us... It would cost us to fix the Sefer Torah because the ink fades with time. Shofar is like a Sefer Torah. Tried and true is not good for a shofar because ultimately a shofar, if you use it too often, it gets old. It gets cracks. And what Rabbi Yonason is worried about is that if it already has started cracking, you know, that's the symbol of decline, you know, like for people in their 40s, you know, they start looking and see if their white hairs on their beard. You know what I mean? You know, that's the beginning of the decline, you know? I remember, you know, when I went for a shave, I said to the barber, do me a favor, just take out the white hairs, you know? But that's impossible. But this, in a shofar, the beginning of the end is nistak. And Rabbi Yonason says, once there's a sedek, you know what? I don't care how small it is. Don't use the shofar. But then Rabbi Yonason adds another word. Hareza ki'ilu nistak far kulo. It's as if it was completely split. Again, there's only a small sedek. And eventually, inevitably, it's going to expand. But right now, it's only a small sedek. Can I get away with Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shinai Vav, at least for 1 year? Give me the leeway. Give me the rope. And I think he adds these words of Ki'ilu Nista Kvar Kulo. It's as if it's already Kulo, in order to answer my question. My question was, where do you find that the Torah makes a siyag? There's no such thing. Only the Rabbanan are authorized to make a siyag. The answer is, the Torah sees it as if it's Nista Kulo Kvar Achshav. Now already it's considered Nista Kulo. The Halach has a right to say that when there's a certain situation now that's inevitable, you're going to bring you to a much worse situation, then the Torah considers if that situation exists now. So let's just review. Rashi, Tosfos, and Rabbeinu Yonasan. Three interpretations of the Mishnah. Who can help me out here? Rashi says, what's this tzedek?
Kulo.
It's already Shnei Shofros. And the issue here is Keva the Nifsal. Nifsal, once disqualified, you cannot resurrect it from the dead. Tosfos learns Nistak, Miktoso, only on one side. Again, it's a complete tzedek on one side, but nevertheless, the shofar is still intact. The problem, therefore, is Devek. Can Devek reinstate the shofar, or do we see Devek as a foreign element, what we call min b'sheinu mino chotzeitz, and the chatzitz apostles, the shofar, Rabbi Yonasan? Tzedek katan. We're only talking about a small tzedek. It's nikar la'ayin, meaning it's something that's visible to the eye. It's not something that you need a microscope for. But nevertheless, the halacha treats this, the Torah treats it, as if it's nistak kula. Isn't that beautiful? Three different interpretations.
Doesn't the tzedek change the call?
Oh, so that's the next part of the mission.
We continue.
Alright, so let me just continue. One little thing, and then we'll do Hilchas Tshuva and the Rambam Mirtz Hashem. The Mishnah says, Nikev Ustamo. So first we have Divek Shivrei Shofar. So I asked you the question, if Nistak Devik doesn't help me, then Kolshken Kamachomer, much more so in Shivrei Shofar. So you got little fragments of a shofar, you put it together with Devik. Nechlak, he says it was completely cut up into Shnayim or Shlosha Chalokim, and now he puts these Shivrei Shofros, these fragments of a shofar together. This is, by the way, if you know anything about, I don't know anything, but I'm just saying, if you know anything about archaeology, this is what the archaeologists do. They find fragments and they put it together, and there's a whole miktsoa, there's a whole discipline. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Cairo Gemiza. Mm-hmm. You heard of the Cairo Gemiza? So they found fragments. Now, here we're talking about manuscripts. That's even more sensitive. Like if you find a jug that's 3,500 years, you know, from the Canaanite period, and you could begin to put together the pieces, you know, there are a lot of professionals who could do that. But when you find fragments of manuscripts, you know, to put them together, that's a professional thing. Here he's putting together the fragments, and he, guess what? He comes up with a shofar. Now, each one of these fragments is possible. Why? Because ein ba kedei shir tkiya. It doesn't have the shir of what we said, kedei tfisas yah.
Each piece.
Each piece in and of itself, before you attach it together, is too small to be a shofar. And now somebody comes along and he's dovek, he's madbik, all the pieces together, posel a shofar. So the question I ask you, which I think is a pressing question, is my kamashmalon. If nistak and devek doesn't help, how much more so shivrei shofros devek shouldn't help? So what's the chiddush of our mission? Says Tosfos, Elazu vi ein tsarach zu katan.
They're not that small.
This is a very strange principle. There's a principle. You see, I always say that learning Mishnah is a discipline unto itself. It's not like learning Gemara. In Chappell, they taught Mishnah or only Gemara? You don't remember. Anyway, Mishnah, trust me, it's a whole new ballgame. Different rules that apply to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's literary achievement of a mission. One of the rules is lo zu af zu, which basically means when the mission says A and then B, you read it in the reverse. B and even A, which is strange. That's called lo zu af zu. Tos is willing to say that the way we should read the Mishnah is divek shivrei shofar is possible, and not only that, even nistak vidavko is possible. Not too happy about that. Okay, I see you're not a happy camper, neither am I. But then he says, Inam. He has another pshat in the Mishnah. And he says, Yoser Sofol Liparid Kishenistak Mitzad Echad Vidovko Mishim Asa Shofar Echad Shal Chatichos Vahavi Shem Shofar Ol Tfei. He says the following: if you have a shofar that became posel, and now you do devek, you do your magical devek trick, then he says we see that it's so fully parried.
It's going to fall apart.
It's going to fall apart. But when you have shivrei shofar, so you never had a shofar to begin with. This is counterintuitive. But he says if you never had a shofar to begin with, you took fragments, you can mold them together in such a way that you create a shofar. When you create a shofar, that we think should be kosher. An amazing tosis. I'm surprised that he doesn't quote the tosis. If you have a shofar shenistak and it's puzzle, now you do a temporary patch-up job, right? We call it a band-aid. You know, you put a bandage on it. Okay, you put a bandage on it, the bandage falls off inevitably. In fact, the Gemara says in Bameisha Yotzeis that's a problem if there's no Erev to go at Rishus HaRabim with a bandage because it might fall off. Bandages don't last that long. In fact, I know people who try to remove their bandages. They don't like to wear a bandage. In any event, here you have a devek. You know what? Devek is a b'dievet. You're trying to do a patch job, connect these pieces of the shofar. And here we have reverberations of Rav Eliyahu Nissan. It's so far, at the end of the day, it's not going to last very long. But if you take pieces, again, you have to ask the professionals about that. If you take pieces of fragments, each of which is just a fragment of a shofar, it's not a shofar. That's what you begin with. You can create a shofar that will be long-lasting from devek. Kamash Malan, there's no such thing as an artificially created shofar. A shofar has to exist in nature, and the human being, as great as he is, but nevertheless he cannot create a shofar. If these fragments, each of which is not a shofar, are put together in the most professional, long-lasting way, and it's a beautiful shofar, you and I would put it as a piece of art, you know, on our walls in our homes, nevertheless it's not a shofar. Man does not have the capacity to create a shofar. Beautiful tosis, no? And then, finally, Nikev Ustamo. Here we get into the issue of a hole, and he was so same in the hole. And tosis, this long, long tosis here, vacillates back and forth. What was the nature of the stima? Was this stima min bimino or was min b'she'eno min? And Tosis at one point suggests that even if it would be min bimino, he even puts a piece of shofar in the, as a stima of the nekev, shofar is still possible. And why is that? Because it's ma'akev is ha'tekiyah. The tekiyah itself, the kol shofar, is not going to be the same kol shofar. And here again, we have two different approaches. One approach says that ma'akev satkiyah means that the air that you blow bounces off the stima. And therefore the shofar, the sound of the shofar, you're not really hearing the sound of the shofar, you're hearing the sound of the stima. It doesn't mean exclusively, I don't mean to exclude the rest of the shofar, but you're hearing not only the sound as it reverberates through the walls of the shofar, but also the sound to some extent of the air reverberating off the stima itself. And the other approach is to say, no, as long as the shofar, the kol shofar, has been affected, have been impacted, there's an alteration in the quality of the kol shofar, then you never really reinstated the shofar. The nekev is still there as an albatross around your neck.
But there is a scenario where it wouldn't affect it.
What do you say?
There is a scenario where the sound wouldn't be affected.
And that's the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that im lav kosher, if however you did such a great professional job, here you want to pay good money to see, you know, to get a professional, and he puts a stima in the nekev in such a way, shaloma akiv satkiya nimtza she'ein hastima molidas kol ha-shofar, the stima somehow is completely integrated into the fabric of the shofar, and therefore you're hearing the shofar itself. However, here he gives another pshat, and he says that perhaps what the Gemara means, what the Mishnah means by ma'akiv esatkiyo im lav, is not a reflection on the stima, but rather a reflection on the nekev. What kind of a nekev did you have? Was the nekev so profound? Was it so severe that it impacted on the kol shofar? Then the shofar is possible. Once possible, you cannot recreate the shofar. You cannot reinstate the shofar. It's disqualified.
So that's before you put the steamer.
Before the steamer. If, on the other hand, the nekev was eino ma'akev es hatkia, the nekev was not so profound, such that you can even an expert couldn't tell the difference between the shofar before the nekev and the shofar after the nekev. The nekev hasn't had really that much of an impact. Then you can put all the steamers in that you want. I don't care what kind of steamer you do. The shofar is kosher. Why? Because basically you didn't need the steamer. The shofar is kosher without the steamer.
That's like the sound.
If I were you, I wouldn't have even put the steamer. You're only creating problems.
The sound at the end is like
this. This is what I call a dentist mission.
That's because when you're blowing with a big hole,
yeah,
then some of the air is going out the hole and not out of the shofar, and then there's a change of the sound. Mm-hmm. It was a little low.
Yeah.
Probably
the doctor told me that we're up to Perek Gimel. Is that correct?
Even if it's a little harder,
we're up to Perek Gimel.
Okay.
So I have the wrong volume. Just give me a minute to get that right. Okay.